Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, page 1303 in your Scofield Bible. Be reading the first two verses, just those verses. The second verse is the text verse for this evening's message. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We'll read these all together in unison. And let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Let's begin together right there on verse 1, please. Ready? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Father, I guess we realize too little how great our privilege is to be a member of this church and to be a part of its work. We pray that you'd help us as we meet tonight. Tonight's special because it's tonight, because this is our opportunity for right now. We pray that you help us to make the most of it. We can't backtrack. We have no certainty about the future, but we have something before us here tonight. We pray that you refresh us and strengthen us in the service. Help our hearts and minds to be as one. And bless our preacher with thy power. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on prepared joy. I wish I could sit down with you, just the two of us, and have a quiet chat with you and lay on your heart the truth that I'm going to give you tonight. Listen carefully to me. Most people in this world never have any joy. Let me say it again. Most people, and by the way, I hesitate to say it, but I wouldn't be surprised if most people in this room will never have one moment's joy in your life. I hope you listen very carefully. I wish I could sit down and talk to you just one-on-one and explain to you what I'm going to teach tonight. A teachy kind of a message. Maybe not the usual type Sunday night message. I don't know. I want to talk to you. And my text is that amazing passage read a while ago where it said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now get this. Who for the joy that was set before him. Now that word, those words set before him means the joy that was prepared. Like a wife prepares a meal for a family and sets it on the table. The joy that was prepared and set before him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He is despising the shame. Notice now, he endured the cross. That was not the joy set before him. He despised the shame. He despised the suffering and the separation he had to undergo from the Father. He despised it. But the Bible said the joy that was set before him and endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That was the joy that was set before him. To get back to heaven, I'll get to that in a few minutes. Please listen to me very carefully as I speak on prepared joy. Father, I want to be a blessing, that's all. That's all I ever want to be in these 53 years of preaching and 51 years of pastoring and 40 of those years right here preaching behind this same piece of wood. I have never one time, all these 64,000 plus sermons I've preached, I've never once asked you to help me preach a good sermon. That's never been a prayer of mine. But I've asked you again and again to help me be a blessing. May it be so tonight to these that I love the most, our dear people. In Jesus' name, amen. Stop your talking, your writing, and look at me and let me help you tonight. The joy that was set before him. the joy that was prepared for him, the joy that was set before him. What is this prepared joy set before Jesus? Number one, his glorified body. He was tabernacling among men for the 33 years. Now, right before him, just briefly, is his glorified body. What joy was set before him? His return to the Father and the restoration of a fellowship that was unbroken from eternity into Bethlehem and then broken until the ascension, the return to the Father. What was this joy that was set before him? Taking Old Testament saints to heaven with him, who had been in paradise awaiting the payment on Calvary, and I won't go into that, but that was set before him. What was the joy set before him? Taking his own blood to the mercy seat and sprinkling that blood on the mercy seat in heaven. John MacArthur is full of baloney when he says that the blood is probably still there at the foot of the cross. Oh no, the very blood that Jesus shed 2,000 years ago is on heaven's mercy seat, visible to God the Father. That was the joy that was set before him. What was the joy that was set before him? The finishing of the plan of redemption. What was the joy that was set before him? Soon he's to sit down at the right hand of the Father as our advocate. What was the joy that was set before him? The satisfaction of having done all that he came to do. There is no satisfaction like that. None whatsoever. Having done all that he came to do. Now, what are you going to do when you die? Will you have done all that you were sent to? The joy that was set before him. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Hold it a minute. There is something between him and that joy. He cannot get to that joy without going first through that something I'm talking about. The joy was set before him. But between that joy and Jesus was the cross. And there's no way to that joy except for the cross. If he doesn't die, he can't rise. If he doesn't rise, he can't ascend. If he doesn't ascend, doesn't rise, he can't have his glorified body. So there is that joy set before him, but between him and that joy, there is the betrayal, the denial, the trial, the beating, the crucifixion, the separation from the Father. It is called despising the shame. The word shame means disgrace. He despised the disgrace. But, hear me carefully, there was no way to the joy set before him unless except the way of the cross. Now, that's always the case. Joy is prepared for you, but there is a cross between you and that joy. Now, you can have happiness without the cross, but you'll never have joy without the cross. The joy that is set before you is always between that joy and you, there is always the cross. A young lady finds that she's going to have a baby. Her joy is set before her. But between that joy of that new baby and where she is now, there are months of suffering. Listen to me. There are months of suffering. And there's travail. There never is real joy unless you go through the suffering route or the travail route. A young person enrolls in Hiles Anderson College. He looks forward to getting his degree and walking across this very platform and receiving that degree. The joy is set before him. But between that young person and that joy, there are years of sacrifice that he must endure. A couple starts to prepare for retirement, and the joy is set before them. But between the couple and that joy of retirement, there are years of hard work and toil between them and that joy. A young preacher comes to Hammond 40 years ago this August, 32 years of age, and set before him is this great Chicago area, and set before him is a great church like this. But between that young preacher and the great church that you see tonight are 40 years of toil and battles and burdens and heartaches. The psalmist put it this way, they that sow in tears shall reap
in joy. And that's the only way. You don't sow in tears, you won't reap in joy. All real joy, are you listening to me? All real joy follows tears. They that sow in tears. There is a cross. Tears are the pathway that leads to joy. Now, we want to go around the enduring, the shame, the suffering, and the cross to get to the joy. Now, you can get happiness that way, but you can't get joy that way. You can get the happiness. Happiness is available to anybody in the whole world that wants to doesn't want to pay the price for it. Just go ahead and live it up and have a good time, and you can be happy. But if you have real joy, I've got the joy down in my heart. But the pathway to joy is always through suffering. We want to shortcut it. We want to go around it, but it doesn't happen that way. For Joseph, between him and his joy was a pit. For Daniel, between him and his joy was a lion's den. For Peter, between him and his joy was a prison. For John, between him and his joy was exile on Patmos. For Dr. Lee Robertson, between him and his joy was the death of a child, little baby girl. For John Rice, between him and his joy was the premature death of his mother and him being reared almost as an orphan. For Dr. Bill Rice, between him and his joy was the deafness of a daughter. For Spurgeon, between him and his joy was the invalid wife, an invalid wife. For Paul, between him and his joy, there was a Roman jail. For Robertson, Rice, Roloff, Frank Norris, Joe Boyd, Charles Spurgeon, between them and their joy was dismissal from their denomination because they wouldn't let a bunch of highbrow bosses tell them what to do. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have happiness, go ahead. Take off today for Six Flags, or take off today for Cub Park, or take off today for a fishing trip, or take off today for a hunting trip, or take off today for play golf or play tennis. Or, well, go ahead, and you can have happiness, but you won't have the joy the Bible talks about unless you travel the road of suffering. There is no way to the joy set before him without going to the cross, without the false accusation and the mock trial and the beating with a cat of nine tails and the betrayal by one of his own 12. There is no other way. The joy that was set before him, but between him and that joy, there was a shame that he despised and dreaded. He endured the cross, despising the shame. I know no way of getting wheat out of the straw except by threshing it. I know of no way of purifying gold except by the fire of the crucible. It is prosperity that kills. It is prosperity that kills. Those young men that killed those people out there in the Denver area were not from poor homes in the ghettos. Did you see pictures of the houses which they live? Beautiful homes. I say America is going to hell on the pathway of prosperity. It is prosperity that kills. It is struggle that builds. I say it is prosperity that kills. It is struggle that builds. These kids that sat up here a while ago, unaffected, hadn't had a chance. Now they have one. Some of you Hammond Baptist kids ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be twice the Christians these bus kids are. But you know what it is? You've been reared in a bed of ease, in a lap of luxury. Anything you want, if you don't get what you want, you pout. You go to Sunday school class and don't listen to the teacher and sit there and do your hair and do your makeup and talk to the others in Sunday school. Why? I'll tell you why. Prosperity has destroyed you. Let me thank God tonight I was reared a poor boy. We are brought into this world by struggle, and we leave this world by struggle. There is no paved road to joy. There is no broad way to joy. There is no highway to joy. There is no boulevard to joy. There is no interstate to joy. There is no easy way to joy. There is no shortcut to joy. There is no main street to joy. There is no bypass to joy. There are no flights to joy. There is no Pullman to joy. There is no limousine to joy. There is no parkway to joy. There is no avenue to joy. There is no smooth ride to joy. There is no taxi ride to joy. There is no sightseeing to joy. There is no freeway to joy. There is no causeway to joy. There is no autobahn to joy. I'm simply saying the way, hear me now, the way to joy. Not talking about happiness. They're not the same thing. Happiness is when something tastes good, looks good, feels good, or smells good. Joy is when you've got a sweet satisfaction in your soul that you obeyed the will of God regardless of the price that you've had to pay. The way to joy is bumpy and narrow and rocky and rugged and uncomfortable and unpaved and lonely and dangerous and painful and tearful and muddy and dreary. You have to choose, hear me, you have to choose between the journey and the destination. Happiness is fun on the journey. Joy is fun at the destination. Happiness is the way to tears. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And they who want happiness, happiness is the highway or the road that leads to tears. But struggle and suffering is the road that leads to joy. Now, don't get me wrong. You can be happy without tears. I'll be honest with you. You can be happy without tears. But you can't have joy without tears. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Let me put another statement. They that sow in happiness shall reap tears. Go ahead, kids. Go ahead. Don't listen to what I say. Sit there and doodle while I preach. Go ahead, college students. Sit there and talk to each other while I preach. And live it up. Have all the fun you can. But let me tell you something. The road to happiness leads to tears. But you go ahead and struggle. And you stay in school. And you pay the price. I'll promise you one day, when you suffered and struggled, you'll look back to a life where you paid the price and you'll have joy, for the tears lead to joy and happiness leads to tears. Every person has a choice to make. Let me interject something here. The guy, hear this carefully, the guy who said serving God will make you happier is wrong. These charismatic testimonies. I got saved and I'm happier than I've ever been. No, that's not true. If you're serving God, you're not happy. Listen, worldly people, hold on to me now, worldly people are happier than spiritual people. But worldly people do not have the availability of joy. Don't tell me that the student scrubbing floors at Howells Anderson College is happier than the student lounging in the snack shop or shooting baskets all afternoon in the gymnasium. The guy that is shooting baskets is happier than the guy scrubbing floors. Don't tell me that the wife cleaning houses is happier than the wealthy wife in the tropics. But she has no joy set before her. Don't tell me that the ladies in this church that make their living going from house to house cleaning toilets and scrubbing floors, don't you tell me that they're happier than the spoiled brats who live on the Silk Stocking Lane. No, sir. The Silk Stocking Lane folks are happier. Don't tell me that the man in the steel mill today is happier than the one on the golf course. But he has no joy set before him. The joy that was set before him. Between him and that joy was the cross. Between him and that joy was suffering. Between him and that joy was the struggle of Gethsemane. Between him and that joy was the betrayal by Judas Iscariot. Between him and that joy was the denial by the Apostle Peter. Between him and that joy was the disciples forsaking him and fleeing. Between him and that joy was a mock accusation. Between him and that joy were false witnesses. Between him and that joy was a mock trial. Between him and that joy was the beating of the cat of nine tails. Between him and that joy was going to Calvary. Between him and that joy, nails in his hands and feet and a crown of thorns on his brow and a spear in his side. But bless God, the day came, but up in the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. And after he paid the price with struggle, then he had joy. Let me tell you something, brother. Don't run from struggle. Don't run from tears. For they that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
So wait. Don't leave yet. Hang around a while. That happiness will soon turn to tears. Who are the teenagers committing suicide? Those that were happy and found that happiness leads to tears. Who are the teenagers gyrating like a fish in a rainstorm or snake wiggling in a river at rock concerts? Who are these? I'll tell you who they are. A bunch of folks that want to be happy now, and then they're sorrowful later. Did you ever notice that old people get older? I mean, way up there in age, like 72 years old. Did you ever notice that they get happier or they get crabbier? Every old lady you know is either happy as she can be or crabby as she can be. How many have a wife that's crabby? But anyway, why? I don't know why. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you listen to me now, and you hear me well. You live your life for fun. You live your life for happiness. You live your life for thrills. You live your life for excitement. And you are going to end up one day in tears, but you live your life for others, and you struggle and pay the price, and one day you'll have true joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Four observations. One, everybody has tears in life. They will come. They'll come now or they'll come later. Observation number two. Everybody has either joy or happiness in life. Observation number three. Happiness is followed by tears. Observation number four. Tears are followed by happiness. I'm not saying that a young lad who never has to work to pay his tuition can't amount to anything. But I will say this. A young man that doesn't have to work to pay his tuition but doesn't work somewhere and learn to sweat will never have real joy. You take those young people walk across this platform next month at our commencement for Howells Anderson College. Those young folks that have struggled and done without and wore hand-me-down clothes and had to work to make a living and pay their own tuition. They walk across this platform and they get that diploma, that degree that they've earned and worked hard. That's the crowd that'll have joy. But that sissy guy, that lazy bitches fella, never got his calluses on his hand, never sweat one day on a job. He walks across here. He shouldn't be up here. Papa at home ought to come and get that degree. He's the one that paid for it. I was down North Carolina preaching. A man walked up to me and said, "Brother Howells, I got a problem." I said, "What is it?" He said, "My son is at Howells Anderson College." Get this now. I'm not saying every boy will do this. I'm telling you what this man said. He said, "I got a problem." He said, "I am a man of means. I sent my boy to Howells Anderson College with intention of paying his way all the way through room, board, and tuition." He said, "I sent the first check. My son sent it back." He said, "My boy has not taken one dime I've sent him. He's working through the nights at Howells Anderson College when I have the money to pay his tuition." And he said to the house, "Can you help me get my boy, shake some sense in my boy's head?" I said, "Sir, your boy already has some sense in his head." And I said, "Sir, you go home tonight. You get on your knees beside your altar, or you pray, you look up to God and say, 'Thank God I've got a man for a son. God, give me men that can understand struggle and go through struggle.'" You take the great preachers that you know, as I said this morning, the great preachers, they struggle their way to joy. You pray your way to tears. You struggle your way to joy.
Well, many other young preachers, 40 and 45 and 50 years ago, when I was a young preacher, while they were indulging in pleasures, I was working. I cannot say I never did
envy them, or covet their prosperity. But while they were indulging in pleasures, I was working. Now then, most of them are out of the ministry, or divorced, or failures, or fallen, and glory to God, I'm enjoying the joy of my senior years. Why? I've sowed in tears. I've sowed with battles. I've sowed with struggle. And let me tell you something, Brett, listen. You little pennywaist guys tonight, never get a callus on your hand. Get you a hammer one of these days and go build something, then tear it down, build it again, tear it down. Learn what it's like to sweat and to work. Let me be a little vain for a few minutes. I worked hard. But the young will tell you, because he travels some places where I speak, and the other preachers go out to eat, I go back to my room and work. While they go out and play golf in the afternoon, I'm not against that at all. They go out and play golf in the afternoon, I'm in my office, I'm in my room working. But I can look at these buildings and thank God for the struggle. I can look at these parking lots where once houses were all and businesses were all over this area. And see now, all these buildings here, that's joy. I can look at that parking garage down there. I can look at places where we have purchased 26 buildings on this corner. Right down here. 26 buildings. That's joy. I go to Baptist City and see 14 buildings, and remember when we toiled to build them, toiled to raise the money, prayed the money down, and built those buildings from this house when I was there the other day. And I reminded her, this was once a wilderness. And now it's a place where young people can go and get trained. And God pity you young people that don't appreciate what's been built out there. Somebody toil, somebody work. How dare you go out and break the rules? How dare you go out and smoke your cigarettes and smoke your pot? How dare you listen to your stinking dirty rock music? Hey, somebody sacrifice to put it out there, appreciate it, and make it all worthwhile. Because I don't like your preaching. I don't give a flip. I don't like your hearing either. Tired of you punkos. Criticizing the schools. Teachers that live on a welfare wages. Do without. Wear hand-me-down clothes to teach you. Why, you little punko, how dare you sit up and criticize those teachers? You're not worthy to sign their shoes. I can go to Memory Lane Cemetery and remember the money we had to raise to buy it. I can see that beautiful mausoleum, one of the prettiest in America, owned by our church. I can recall raising the money to build it. I go to Howells Anderson College and see that campus. I'm talking about joy, sowed in tears, struggle all these years. And now as an old man, bless God, I have the joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Because through the valley of tears and struggle, I have come this far. And glory to God, as an old man, I'm filled with joy. I can drive to 700 Sibley Street and walk away. Remember how that used to be the United Church of Christ? I recall struggling to get that property for our kids. I can see 10 buildings we have built. I can drive it at the college. I can drive down Holman Avenue and see that lovely building we purchased for $800,000 and the struggle. I sit in my office and think of 1,000 pastors all over the world tonight preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, my preacher boys. I can think of 300 missionaries all over the mission field tonight, my preacher boys. I think of a subdivision in heaven of 1 million people who walk the aisle receiving Christ during my ministry. I can remember 43 books that I called to write, and millions of my tapes and books circled the globe I have done what God sent me to do, and I am reaping in joy. And some of you kids, you're not as happy as this old man is. I got one foot in the grave, one banana peel in. I got a heart condition. Doctor told me not to get too much exercise, so I can't run around a lot. But I'm trying to say that I'd be ashamed. I would be ashamed to be a 16 or 17-year-old boy or girl and spend my life griping. An old man up here has got the joy of God in his soul and lasts more than you do. And the reason is you have never struggled and you never will have joy until you do struggle. Now, in closing carefully, what are you to do? Look for tears? No, sir. No, sir. Look for struggle? No, sir. Create it? No. Four things. One is, don't try to be happy or unhappy. What does it make you do? What difference does it make where I'm happy or unhappy? I go to a ball game. I've got 50-50 chance to come back happy. But the Cubs is 10-90. If it's the Bears, it's 5-95. If it's the Bulls, it's 0-50. What difference does it make? Don't try to be happy. Unhappy. And by the way, some of you rock music folks are not as happy as I am. You won't even mow the yard. You El Punkettes, you want a Buckos, you won't even take the garbage out. You gripe if mama asks you to take a can 20 feet out in the backyard and put it in the alley. You gripe. Boy, I wish you were my kid. You'd go in a garbage can taking out business. You wouldn't say to me, you wouldn't say that to me, buddy. Or you'd get you a job and make your own living and get your own bed and get your own house and get your own food and buy your own clothes. We're living in a nation of small brats. You know why? Nobody struggles anymore and nobody has joy anymore. I said, don't try to be happy or unhappy. Number two, just do what you're supposed to do. Do your duty. And I promise you, you do what you're supposed to do and do your duty. I promise you tears. I promise you struggle. I also promise you joy. Maybe you prefer to be happy. Go ahead. It's your choice. If you want to live for happiness, go right ahead. But I'll see you in the office if I live in about 20 years. You'll be there. A line of people marches through my office day after day, week after week, with their lives wrecked and ruined, weeping. Why? Because they chose happiness. But nobody ever comes to my office with miserable life who struggled and paid the price and done their duty. It's your choice. If you want to be happy, go ahead. But believe me, tears will follow. You have one choice of two. One is duty, tears, joy. That's the only way to joy. The joy that was set before him. And God has some joy set. Listen to me. It's not time to giggle. You listen to me. Some of you are spoiled brats. Well, aren't you afraid some of these parents will get mad at you when you call their kids spoiled brats? Not one little bit. That's what you ought to call them. And they wouldn't be caused all the trouble if you'd straighten up and fly right at home and make them straighten up and fly right. Duty. Tears. Joy. That's the only way to joy. The joy that is set before you is beyond the cross, beyond Gethsemane, beyond the trials, beyond the heartaches. But there it is. If you want joy, you've got to go the struggle route. So it's either duty, tears, joy, or self, happiness, tears. You say, how do you know that? Because I've lived long enough to know it. And let me remind you, some of you teenage boys that think you're the hottest thing since sliced bread. Some of you teenage girls think you're the second coming of Marilyn Monroe. There's more brains in that little finger than you got in your head. I've lived long enough to see how it turns out. I know who's weeping. People that chose happiness. That's the crowd this week. I know who has joy. People that chose struggle. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. There's no other way to get to that prepared joy that God had for Jesus except the way of the cross. And there's no other way for you to get the prepared joy that God has for you except for the way of the cross. Wow, some of you guys are breaking the rules. Think you're smart. If brains were water, you wouldn't have enough to brush your teeth with. You think you're smart because you're getting by. You don't even have your own car. I actually had a girl in my house the other day said, Mother Hiles, would you pray for me? I'm 17 years old and I don't even have a car. When I was 17 years old, I didn't have a tricycle yet. You poor, underprivileged thing. We're going to take an others offering for you next Wednesday night. You give me that person who says, I'll do my duty. If I take a course in English, I'll give it the best I got. And I won't misbehave in the class and disturb the teacher. So my parents can come up and defend me. Boy, I wish I could be principal of the schools, your school, for 1 week. You know how many folks would be outside my office complaining about their kids? Zero. I'd say no admittance. I'd say, go home and do like my mama did. If I got a spanking at school, I never did, but if I ever had a. If I got a spanking at school, mama didn't check with the teacher to find out why. I wasn't home 5 minutes before she blistered my posterior. Quit spoiling your brats! It's your choice. Happiness or joy? Happiness is entertaining the senses. Joy is entertaining the soul. Happiness you can choose anytime you want it. It's there. You don't have to go through struggles to get it. But if you want the joy of God in your soul, you'll have to go through the cross. For the joy that was set before him. The joy of his glorified body. The joy of the resurrection. The joy of the ascension. The joy of restoration and fellowship with the Father. The joy of sprinkling the blood on the mercy seat. The joy of finishing redemption's plan. The joy of getting to heaven to fellowship with the people that have missed you there for 33 long homesick years. That joy, Jesus, is set before you. But between him and that joy, he had to endure the cross and despise the shame. But there's no other way to joy. 2,000 years have passed. There's no other way to joy tonight except by struggle. I'm not asking you preacher boys to get out of here and try to start fights. You get out here and preach like I preach and you won't have to start the fights. I'm asking you to go jump on somebody, preach what you ought to preach. You won't have to jump on somebody. You'll have to double your insurance on yourself. Just do what you're supposed to do. The hair lips of a dog in Lake County. Do what you're supposed to do. Do your duty! That means if you're in school and you take a course in math, you give it your best. That means if you're a student, you be the best student you can be. And be more concerned about English and math than you are sports. I'm for sports. I didn't get this amazing physique up here sitting at home all the time. I've played everything there is to play. Checkers and chess and tiddlywinks. That's where I got that muscle. I'm for sports. I played it all. But this country is so wrapped up in its Michael Jordans and Shaquille O'Neal's. Shaquille is a heel. Well, you know whose picture you ought to have in your room? Huh? You know who you ought to have in your room? A big picture of your hero. Not Michael Jordan. No. Your dad that works in a steel mill. Your dad that works with calluses on his hands to put food in your ungrateful mouth. It's your choice. You can choose happiness. It's right there for you. Nothing between you and it. It's there. But it leads to a destination of tears. You choose joy. It's there too. But between you and that joy is struggle and the cross and suffering. I'll take the joy. I'll take the joy. You choose tonight, and I'm through now. You either choose the trip or the destination. You enjoy the trip. You don't enjoy the destination. You struggle on the trip. You enjoy the destination. This is not a part of my sermon, but sitting right there on the front row tonight is a lady and a little girl. She is rearing that little girl by herself. She struggles. I know what I'm talking about. And now she happens to be here on the front. There are hundreds of others like her. She's struggling. Little girl has no daddy at home. The lady has no husband at home. It's a struggle. But you wait till that little girl gets her degree from Howells Anderson College. And you wait till she walks across this platform and gets her degree. You're going to have one moment, it's going to have a spell and make black girl look like an Episcopalian rector. She's sowing in tears. She'll reap. Enjoy. Our Heavenly Father, no philosopher can give better philosophy than what's been preached in this pulpit tonight. The key to life is to do one's duty, which will bring struggle. Because your plan for us is to struggle. And struggle brings joy. And yet tonight the people all in this room have got enough sense to believe what God says. They know more than God. They're their own God, which is the worst idolatry in the world. A worship of their own minds and reasoning. Somehow help us.